I trust that you'll go into heaven, amen. I think about every time I hear Charles sing that song. Brother Tom Gillum said he was in a camp meeting. An old mountain preacher got up to preach. And he said, I don't know all, he said. I couldn't get past the first point. And he said, the fellow's preaching on why I know I'm not going to hell. And his first point was, because I'm not heading that away. Amen. I'm heading toward heaven, mate. We're pressing on the upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. And those of you who are getting older, you're not getting older. You're getting closer to heaven. Say amen right there. Amen. What a blessing. Boy, it's good to see you this morning. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Amen. I spoke to Brother Gene and my brother over here a while ago, and Brian's over here. I said, we got 3/4 of the Hickory Grove Quartet here. Looks like they'd sing. And then Gene said, can you sing bass? I can't sing tenor, also either one. But at any rate, I appreciate them being here with us and all the rest of you who are here today. God bless you and thank you for being in the house of the Lord today. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 111. And while you're doing that, Psalm 111, and while you're doing that, I do want to remind you that there's some blue cards down here at the front, some at the back. Those are the themes that we have for each month this year. And behind me is the wonderful banner that Tim and Wendy got together. He that believeth on me, greater works shall he do. We'll read that verse also in John 14 in just a second. So if you want to go ahead and put a marker in John chapter 14, I want to read that in just a moment. But we're emphasizing the greater works of God, amen, and what the Lord is able to do. And I really believe that God has given us an opportunity to do things for him. And I want you to pray. This month is prayer month. Back at the back in the hall is a prayer clock, 24 hours a day. If you've not signed up, it's in 30-minute segments. You don't have to pray for those whole 30 minutes. But through this year, we'd love to have somebody praying at every 30-minute segment of the day, a member of Benson Grove Baptist Church praying for the needs and the burdens of this church, for this nation, and praying for our governmental leadership, but praying for God to do great things. And I believe that he can, believe he will. There's a good number of folk here this morning. Appreciate you being here. And all those, again, in the internet and radio audience, we're glad you're part of the services. This week, we took a few days, kind of rearranged our schedule a little bit because of the snow and the wedding on yesterday. And do pray, if you will, please, for Brother Ray and Sister Dorothy. And for those of you who came, they really appreciate you being here for the wedding. And but we had opportunity to go up to the gravesite where our good friend, Brother Bob Smallwood, who has been down here several times. Brother Bob went home with the Lord a few months ago. And he had asked that I'd help with his funeral, but there's absolutely no way I could get there on the day of that funeral. And so Brother Tom Robertson and some others helped, and God was honored, and the family was blessed. But anyway, we went up to the gravesite, which is about an hour and a half where Brother Tom lives. It's up on the mountains. And the church, there are two church buildings on the property. The first one is a stone building. It was built in 1755. Been there ever since. And the other one was built, I believe, in 1828. And it is still there, too. They don't use it for regular church services, either one of them anymore. They have special services, memorial services there and such as that. But we walked through the cemetery, and I saw people who were buried in the 1700s. And look at the things. And all the scriptural comments and things there. But one that just really struck my and Brother Tom's attention was this statement about a dear lady, and said, she departed to be with her wonderful Lord. That's what Charles just sang about. And you know what Paul said? He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Death for the believer is not the end. It is a departure. And if you're departing, you're going somewhere. And thank God when you get where you're going, I trust that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll be with him, departing to be with the Lord. And that was a blessing. And I thought about how many of those wonderful dear saints of God who are now around the presence of God rejoicing, and one of these days we'll all get to be there together. Look in Psalms 111. We are talking about emphasizing prayer and seeking God for the great work of God. Notice what it says in Psalms 111. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. in the assembly of the upright. Now that's us right here. When you come into the house of the Lord, you enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Say amen. 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 God's a good God, isn't he? We enter here. How many of you are thankful for what God did? Say amen. And we praise him and we magnify him and we praise him with our whole heart. Amen. And it said, and in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. And what he's saying is this. He's saying God's works are great. God is always doing great things. We think about the great things of the past. Think about when he opened the Red Sea, or when he opened the Jordan River, or when he resurrected the dead, or when he healed blind eyes in the New Testament. But according to this passage of Scripture, God's doing something great every day. He's doing something in your life great every day. He's doing something great where you are. And he said, of those who seek it, or those who have sought it, they recognize it. What I want you to do is to begin to understand and to recognize the great work of God in your life, about what he's doing, and magnify him. And what someone has said in days gone by, practice his presence. Learn that God's there with you. His work is honorable and glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of his hand are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and righteousness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Now, will you turn with me, please, to our text verse for the theme of this coming year? And it is in the book of John, chapter 14. And I want to read to you, and I want to read verse 11. Verse 12 is the text. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God would help today. Our Father, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Thank you for the wonderful singing of the choir, and God, for Charles and the congregation this morning. Thank you for the great songs that we've lifted our voice in praise to you. And Lord, for this time together with God's people, I pray for our friends in the media audience and here in this building. I pray, God, that our hearts would be stirred to believe God for great things. And our Father, I pray that we'll understand that our Father, great things are possible by those who seek your face and pray, and God, having a communion with you and a fellowship with you. And I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now, God, would give me your touch and anointing once again. God, take over. I pray, God, you'd speak through me what you want to say to your people today. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And greater works than these shall you do. I'm interested in seeing God do great things. Is that your case? Would you like to see God do something great? If you so say, amen. Amen. I want to see God do great things. Our nation needs a great move of God. You've got family members who needs a great move of God. They need a miracle from God. They need God to do great things. I was looking this week. I want you to go in the Gospel of John once again. But go to chapter number 5 this time, John chapter 5. I was thinking about what our Lord said about that his works, the God the Father's in him and he's in the Father, and the works that he does. Now notice what it said in John chapter 5, and look at verse number 20. He said, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ said, God the Father has a purpose and He's got a plan. And He said, I love Him, He loves me, and He shows me what He's doing. And He said, and He's going to show me greater things. And those greater things will be accomplished through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And when the disciples said, and some of them said, show us the Father, He said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And He said, all that God the Father's doing, and He said, because I'm here and He's working through me, that you may marvel, that you might see the manifest presence of God. Look over in chapter 9. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In chapter number 9, Jesus and the disciples are confronted with a situation. It says in chapter number 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You see, God has a plan. And the way He demonstrates His plan and He demonstrates and accomplishes what He wants to do is through people. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There's no other greater miracle in all the world. But God chose to use people to do His purpose. God is the one that's working. God is the one who does the saving. But God uses people. And I don't know how to tell you this except to just say it. You're all He's got. I'm all He's got. Here we are in 2017, and if God's going to do something, He's going to do it through somebody. He's going to do it through people. He used the Lord Jesus Christ. He worked through the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what He said over in John chapter 10 and verse 25, and He said this, and Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. You see, the work of God is a manifestation of God's presence. It is a manifestation of God's power, and it is a witness. As you go through the Bible and you study, and I've been reading devotionally. I just started reading back through the New Testament in January, going back through and through the book of Matthew and all the other Gospels. I just decided I'd start reading through the New Testament this first of the year. As I've gone through and I've looked, and I've noticed the works of God. And when they come to Pentecost and God gives them great power, listen to the testimony of a non-believer in chapter number 5 of the book of Acts. And I want you to look at verse number 38. Chapter number 5 and verse number 38. And it says this, and they're consulting about the great things that God's been doing. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men. They were going to try to take the disciples and persecute them or try to stop them what they were doing. And Gamaliel says this, and I say unto you, refrain from these men, let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, we cannot overthrow it, lest haply we be found even to fight against God. Here's a man who didn't understand the Lord Jesus Christ being the Messiah. But he did have enough spiritual discernment to know that what God was doing through these men was not them. They were not the ones doing that. It was God. And he said, if we attack these men and if we fight against these men, we're going to be found fighting against God. Now, that ought to encourage you that what happened in days gone by through the lives of the apostles, through all the great men, the great saints of days gone by, it was not them at all. It was the Lord. God has a plan, and God is working through us, and God is working through people, and it's God who does that. As I've gone through and looked, I believe there are at least three reasons that I understand from the text that I've just read and others why God does great things through people. Number one, it is so that God can get glory. Only when God does things that only God can do, He gets all the glory. I read you a statement, I shared a statement I read some time ago and I wrote in front of my Bible, any glory to man leaves not enough for God. And when God does the work, God gets all the glory. I think about this building And the amazing thing, this building's a testimony to this community and to all those outside who know you and know this building and know what God's... They understand that, that we couldn't do this, that we all together couldn't do this. This is God. And they recognize it as being God. When you study the book of Nehemiah, and when he gathered that group of people together to go back and rebuild the wall, they rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem in 52 days. They faced opposition every step of the way. But when they got through, even their enemies had to say, this work was wrought of God. And what I'm interested in is God doing things through me and through you and through this church that the world will say, God did that. I mean, when God saves old sinners and people that nobody thought would ever get saved, it's not going to be because of me or you, but it's because of God, and God gets all the glory. That's what it's all about. And the reason we want to see God do great things is because God deserves the glory. And we see throughout the Bible that he did amazing, great things that he might get glory. The second thing is this, that when God did great glory and did great things through God's people, it meant growth for God's people. I'm going to tell you, when you see God do something, I mean, it helps you to grow. You read the Bible, you saturate your soul with the Word of God, you pray and you believe God to do something. And then when God does something, it encourages you to know this, I couldn't do that, God did that. It wasn't me, it was God. And it causes growth in the believer. I mean, listen, people in their religious groups and Baptist churches across this country who sit there day after day, week after week, month after month, and it's the same old, and nothing ever happens. They come in and they go out, and that's all that ever happens. And they don't grow. Their faith's not built. They're not excited about what God can do. They don't marvel, as the Lord said, that when he did those things, that they marveled. Listen, and manifest the power of God. And when people see God do things that only God can do, it builds our faith. I tell you, even when I read about God doing things in other places and churches where God is working and people that God's using, it builds my faith. And so God wants to do great things for the growth of the believers. When we see God do great things, we glorify God and praise God and magnify him. But it also helps us to grow, to believe that God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or think. The great Burlington revival that was just, that we had last year, and how God moved. People came from all over the nation out of that revival, and thousands of people were saved. Thousands of people attended under an old gospel tent, no air conditioning. I mean, extreme heat. People came hours before, stayed hours later, and God moved. And everybody who went knew this. That's God. God did that. But across this country, fires were set in the heart of churches and preachers that believe this, God can, God will, but now God has. And that builds faith in us. When we see God do something, great works. I mean, we want to see God glorified. But if God does great works in us and through us, it'll build our faith to see what God can do. How many of you believe God can do anything? Say amen. Amen. But when you see him do things, when you know that God can, I've testified for Brother Donnie Tippett all across this country and encouraging people that God can. God can do great things, and he still does great things. Not only does God do great things for his own glory, and not only for the growth of saints, but for the gathering of sinners. The miracles that Christ did in the New Testament, my dear friend, people watched. I was reading the other day, and I think maybe T.D. mentioned it, and I think Brad mentioned this morning about the resurrection of Lazarus. And the Lord Jesus Christ was called to go to his friend Lazarus who was laying sick. And he tarried, and he died. And he's been buried 4 days when he got there. And I love that song. Karen Peck, somebody sings, 4 days late, but right on time, amen. God's right on time, all the time. But when he came, he called Lazarus out of that grave. And he came out of that grave. Oh, what a blessed benefit it was, a blessing for the growth of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and for the believers who stood by. But the Bible said, because of that great work that God did, many believed on his name. And God does great things in churches to cause people to believe. I've related to you the story of an old man down in Florida when we were pastoring there that got saved. And the New Harmony Baptist Church, God began to work. God's people began to believe God. They began to pray. They began to witness with power. And souls were getting saved. Old Monroe had been in that country, in that area there for a long, long time and never gotten saved. People prayed for him, witnessed to him. He never got saved. But God began to bless the church and crowds began to come. And we had to build addition on and things were happening. And Monroe came and he came on homecoming and he got saved. He and his brother and his wife got saved. And she was in her 70s. Both of the men were in their 80s. And I baptized all three of them. But one reason that Monroe came is he said he saw God beginning to work and he saw people getting saved and he heard about what God was doing. And my dear friend, when it gets noised abroad that God's in the house and that God's doing great things, things will happen. I tell you, God, it'll build, it'll help saints to grow. It'll give glory to God, but it will gather sinners. People will come. I know joke people tell about the fella and the church house is on fire up in the mountains and people are grabbing water buckets and throwing water on the church. And there's a man there who was famous for being lost. He was a sinner. And one of them looked at him and said, "We've never seen you at church before." He said, "I've never seen this church on fire before." It makes a difference. I mean, when God's doing great things and God's working and God's getting the glory, it was noise abroad that Jesus was in the house. Folk come. People want some help. They don't need religion. They don't need the formality. They don't need a ritual. They need a change in their life. And if somebody's getting changed and God's doing something great, boy, it'll gather folk. If there's hope for somebody else. If Paul said that I am what I am by the grace of God. And the Bible said because of Lazarus' resurrection, many got saved. And because of the resurrection of our Lord, many have come to know Him. And because others get saved, there are others who say, if God can save them, He can save me. God can save. And my dear friend, He does great things. And we want Him to do great things that God might get all the glory, that God's people might grow, and that the lost might be gathered into the house of God. And listen, but also so that God's purpose can be accomplished. Every work of God, the Bible said, is a great work. And He said, listen, Gabriel said, if this work be of men, it'll not last. The flip side of that is this, if God does it, it lasts. If God's doing the work, it'll stand the test of time. And my dear friend, God does His purpose through men and women, boys and girls. God will use you. God wants to do great things through you. And God can accomplish great things through you if you'll just give yourself. As I've gone through, not only have I seen those reasons that God does things, but I've also saw the responses to those great things. What are the responses? And I've kind of mentioned some of them already. But first of all, the responses to those things was this, that those who were blessed, those who experienced those great things were greatly benefited. Listen, here's a man who's born blind, and God said, this work's going to be done to manifest the glory of God. And it was. God got all the glory. Nobody else could heal that blind man, been blind all his life, and nobody sinned, not his mama, not his daddy, not him. Nobody sinned, but that the works of God might be made manifest, and God's works were manifest. God got the glory. But the benefit for those who experienced that great work of God, this man never seen the sunrise. And for the first time in his life, the next morning, he got to see the sunrise. He'd never seen the beauty of a rose. But every time he saw the beauty of a rose, he wept. And he thought about the one who'd opened his eyes, the Lord Jesus Christ. That great work that people glorified God for and that the believers were encouraged in, oh, what great benefit it was. And my dear friend, people need a great work in their life. There are homes that are broken that need a great work of God. There are lost people who need that great work of salvation. And that great work, we want God to do great things in and through us. And if for the benefit of those who need that, they need something real. They need something to change their life. And my dear friend, the reason God does great works is for the benefit of those who are recipients of that great work. But then also that many might believe. He does those things. The Bible said, and many believed, and many believed, and many believed. When they saw that great work, they believed. You see, he wants to bless those who need that great work, but through that great work, he wants others who need a greater work to believe on him, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I saw a third response to those great works of God and said, and many rejected him. The Pharisees would stand and watch him do a great miracle, and then they'd gather, and the Bible said, and they murmured against him and sought occasion to put him to death. My dear friend, people see great works. Some will believe, some will be blessed, but some will reject, and some will not believe. That's the tragedy of that. But the sad thing is this. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But I wonder how many people sitting in here. Brother Tom and I were talking the other day about all the great miracles of the Old Testament and all the great miracles of the New Testament, and yet his own people often didn't believe. I mean, God can do it. You just indicated you believe God could do anything. Well, why don't we live like he could do anything? Why don't we serve like he could do anything? Why don't we pray like he could do anything? My dear friend, sometimes we see his great work and yet we really don't believe that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. He is a great God, great God. Let Brother David share his heart about the life he lived, saw his mom and dad, how they trusted God, believed God, and saw God do great works. Then his life has patterned their life of a life of faith and seeing God do great things. My dear friend, God wants us to believe that he can do those things. Let's don't be numbered with that crowd who do not believe, yet they see and do not believe. We believe God can. I believe God can. And we're going to just trust him that God can and he will do those great things. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. First of all, I ought to believe God could do great things in salvation. I ought to believe God could do great things in salvation. You ask me, Brother Billy, who can be saved? I believe anybody can be saved. Anybody could be saved. Paul said, my prayer to God for Israel is, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul was a prayer for salvation. And I want God to do great things in saving people. Some of you, you've had loved ones, husbands, wives, family members, all, and they're lost. And you go through a kind of a ritual of praying for them. But I'm praying that God will stir our hearts that we will believe that he's able to save. I want you to turn to a New Testament passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. And notice the prayer of Paul. Here's what he's praying for his people. He's praying for those that church at Ephesus and for all the believers. And it's a long prayer. I'm going to kind of begin in the middle of it and share part of it with you. Notice what he said. He said, I'm praying that he would grant, verse 16, I'm sorry, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with a might by his Spirit in the inner man. Paul's praying that that church would have the power of God inside of them, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, and that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants believers to be that way, which indicates they may not be that way. They may not fully comprehend all the love of God. They may not be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost of God, but he's praying that they'll be that way. And then he goes on further. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of God, watch this, that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all the ages, world without end. Amen. Paul's praying for those people. What we're praying for us and what you're praying, what I'm praying for, that we might have the presence and the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God, that we might have an understanding through the Word of God of the great height and breadth and length and depth of the love of God and understand that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. He can save people we don't think He can save. He can change lives. He can rescue people that we think are too far gone. And pray that God will bring that to us and hear of people living in that time in the shadow of Calvary that He's praying, God, do that for them. And if they are that close to Calvary and that close to Pentecost and He's praying that they would experience, oh, I pray God to do that in my heart and life and yours, that God will give us a fresh revelation of His ability to save. He's able to save to the uttermost, the Bible said, all that call upon Him. And now, my dear friend, if you're here this morning, the sound of my voice, most of all, for your personal salvation, you can believe that He can save you. You say, Brother Billy, I've tried everything in the world. He can save you. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon Him. You see, it's the mighty work of God. It's the great work of God. Nobody can save a soul but Him. Nobody can change a life but Him. Only the Holy Ghost of God can convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's the only one who can, but He is the one who will. And if you'll look to Him and trust Him and believe that He can change my life, He can make a difference in my life, and I turn from my sin and I turn to the Savior and receive Him as your Lord, receive Him as your Savior and Lord, He'll save you this morning. But not only do I want us to pray and believe God for great things in regard to salvation for the lost around us and for those that need to be saved. And if you're not saved, that He might save you. But also, as I read to you in the book of Ephesians, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And He says that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above everything we're able to ask or think through the power, through His power that worketh in us. It's Him working through us. God can do great things. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. The financing for this building was not an object. He has the money. The financing of this work and the building of this building, that was not the main issue. The main issue was, is this what He wanted? And it's testifying here today that this was the will of God and that He was able to do that. God can do that. The money comes and the means come because He's able. But the thing is to know His will. And that's why we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, filled with the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God to know what to do. And then that we might be filled with the Word of God. In the Word of God, we learn something of His person, about who He is. And when you go through this book and you begin to read, and I've been just reading afresh the Gospels again, devotionally. Oh, and I see Him with such great power, such great compassion, and there's nothing He can't do. I mean, He can feed 5,000, two fishes, and five loaves of bread, and have 12 baskets full left over. He can do that. He's a great God. He can resurrect the dead. He can heal blind eyes. He can heal lame limbs. He's like that. He's moved with compassion when He saw the people who were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He has great compassion. And he has the ability to do great things if somebody will believe Him, if somebody will accept Him, if somebody will allow Him to do that. And when you get in the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but you learn something of His person and you understand who He is and how He is. And when we learn that it's all dependent on Him and not on us and that He just simply wants our availability, but then we're not only in the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit of God leads us, and as we saturate our soul with the Word of God, we learn something of His person, but we learn something of His purpose. He's got a will for your life. He has a will for the corporate life of this church, what God wants us to do. We've been praying about the new building and all those things in God's time, but God's got a plan. But He's got a plan for you personally, daily. He's got a plan. And I'm praying that as you study the Word of God, as you seek Him more in prayer, greater prayer this month, praying and getting in His presence more, being close to Him more, my dear friend, that you'll become aware of the fact that He's with you and that He's in you. And you'll see Him do great things, I mean, day by day. Oh, not what people call spectacular miracles maybe, but to see those great things that only God can do. I mean, it may be just a divine appointment. you see somebody you've not seen in a long time. God had them there at the right place at the right time. A phone call may be made, and somebody on the other end of the line says, I've just been waiting for somebody to call me. I was hoping somebody would call. Those are great things that God does, and He's got a purpose for your life and a plan for my life. And the thing is, we need to align ourselves to it. I was reading a book this past week along this line, and here's the thing. Whenever God shows you what He wants you to do and He speaks to your heart, the thing is this, we ought to obey. It's God doing it. God's going to do the work. God's going to accomplish the thing. But He wants you to be obedient, to take that step of faith and follow Him. Prayer. How much have you been praying this week? I'm trusting that you'll get in the Word of God, read, pray, and seek God's face, that God will do great things among us. It's not what I do, it's not what you do, but it's what God's going to do. And we've seen it over and over again already around here through all the things that's been done. I mean, through all the drama ministries and other ministries of the church and everything, the highway shepherd, phenomenal things that God's done. And the Bible said that those who sought those things, God, those who watched for God to do those things, they worship God and praise God. I hope you'll understand and appreciate what God's doing, but seek God's face to do even greater things. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? What's God doing in your life? Are you aware of His presence? Has He definitely directed you to do anything this past week? I don't believe that God would allow you or me to go for days or weeks without Him having some purpose to accomplish in your life. It may be a spoken word to somebody who needs a word of encouragement. It may mean a time of prayer when He burdens your heart to pray for someone who's grieving or someone who's hurting or just a name or comes into your mind and the Holy Ghost of God is wanting you to pray for that individual. It may mean that God has a divine appointment for you, somewhere you're supposed to go or something you're supposed to do. It may mean that God wants to bless you by you giving. He'll burden your heart to share a blessing with somebody else that He in turn might bless you. But we need to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and to see that God is doing great things in your life. Do you know Him in a real way? Are you a Christian today? If you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord here in the building or in the media audience, today is the day of salvation. And He can do for you what nobody else can do. He can do great things. Great grace is available to you to save you. A great pardon if you'll trust Him. He'll save you to the uttermost, give you everlasting life. I'd encourage you right now in the building or in the media audience to call on His name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, you go to Him. He knows you. Tell Him, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Come in my heart. I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, my only hope of heaven. I believe, God, You died for me. You rose again. You're alive and You can save me now. Lord, come in my heart and save me right now. Great things. Great salvation. Oh, don't neglect so great salvation. And then, for those of us who are saved, I'm telling you, seemed like the devil has really been fighting our church families since the first of the year when we began to talk about great things, God doing great things in our own life and Tim and Brad and many of our church family. But I tell you, I just believe that means he's upset because he knows what God can do. He's seen the Lord when He opened blind eyes, when He resurrected dead, when He healed lame limbs, when He opened the River Jordan, when He opened the Red Sea, when He fed the 5,000. He knows what He can do when He saved multitudes and lives have been changed. He's not interested in that happening around here. The devil wants to do all he can to stop it. But I'm going to tell you, you just need to believe God.
He's in you if you know Christ as Savior. And here's what you and I need to do. We need to get so close to Him in the Word of God and in our prayer life that we can hear His voice. And when we hear His voice, we will believe wholeheartedly what He says He can do and will do. We believe He's able. You don't have to figure out all the details. If He wants you to do something, He'll work it out. And then there may be some adjustments that you and I need to make in our own life to accommodate God's purpose and plan. It may involve time. It may involve something else. But God will do things. But we need to yield our lives to Him completely to do what He has us to do. And then we need to obey what He tells us to do. Listen to know His plan. Believe that He's able to accomplish His plan. You and I need to trust Him, believe that He's able. And then we need to adjust our lives to fit His plan. And then we need to obey Him. I'm praying that's the prayer of many of God's people. Maybe you've been like some others that you've gone through a lot of battles already the first part of this year. Devil trying to distract you, disarray you, discourage you. I'd encourage you to come get around this altar and say, God, we believe You're going to do great things. Paul's prayer for that church at Ephesus was that their understanding would be open. They'd understand the length, the breadth, the height, the depth, the love of God, that they'd be filled with all the fullness of God. And they'd understand that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all they were able to ask or think by the power that worketh in them. God's going to use you, church. God's going to use you, sir. God's going to use you, ma'am, young man, young girl. God's able to do great things in your life. God's able to accomplish great things for His glory. I mean everything. I mean from your daily work, the tasks you do at school, the work that you do in school. Ask God to help you and demonstrate that He's God and help you and then give Him all the glory. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, I've tried to share my heart. And God, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, that God, I could yield my life to You, to allow You to do what things You want to do, the purposes in my life that You want to accomplish for Your glory, for my growth and for the growth of those around me, and for the gathering of sinners that they might be saved. God, I pray that be true of every person who's been gifted with a gift of music. I pray, God, that be true of every person, Lord, who's gifted to teach. I pray that be the prayer of every housewife, every husband, every son, every daughter, that, God, our lives would be what You want us to be, that You might work through us and in us and accomplish only those things that God can do for the glory of God, for the growth of saints, and for the gathering of sinners. God, I pray You'd move. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I'd encourage you this morning, greater prayer. Wouldn't hurt us to gather around the altar and pray again before we leave this morning. I encourage you to come, bow, kneel, stand, whatever you want to do. If you're not saved this morning, you're in the building. If you're not saved, I sure would love to be able to help you, share the Word of God with you if need to. But if you call on Him, He'll save you. Brother Brad, if you will, you'll sing a verse. While these many are coming, I invite you to come. We'll be dismissed very soon. But I want to give you an opportunity to come and once again present your body a living sacrifice and say, God, do with me and through me what You will. Understanding it's not me. Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of God. The presence of God lives inside of him and inside of me and you. And God's going to do great things, but He'll choose to do it through people. Will you make yourself available today once again to let God do great things through you?